All right, join me in turning to 2 Kings chapter 6 in your Bible, please, tonight. Second Kings chapter 6. I want to thank Pastor for the opportunity to open the Word of God tonight and to preach, and I'm always thankful for that opportunity. Also for him being willing to let me do my internship here this summer. I know that was great blessing in my life, and I know the Lord taught me many valuable lessons that I trust I'll be able to use the rest of my life. And He gave me many different responsibilities, and it was a joy to have a part in many of those. And I just want to thank also many here tonight that were just always such an encouragement to me, and just always a challenge and encouragement to me. And Lord really used that, I know, in my life different times throughout the year or summer, so thank you for that. And I really enjoyed my time here, being able to intern. Obviously, I've grown up here, but having a different maybe role or something this summer, it was a great blessing, and I really enjoyed just seeing the whole church, really, in a sense, being mobilized to go out and fulfill the Great Commission through the VBS Blitz and now the John Romans, and I just thank the Lord for those opportunities to serve. If you could continue praying for me, I leave September 8th, and I'm traveling with Dr. Jim Van Gelderen in the Minutemen Ministries of the War of Special Forces. Each week we're in a different Christian school, and we do chapel services every single day, preaching to the young people. And then in the evening, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights, we do outreach for teens and preach the gospel to them. So I really ask that you'd continue to pray for me. And our first church is in Indiana, and we, by the end, in December, we're down in Miami, Florida. Well, you guys are up here in the cold. It'll be hard to come back. Well, not really, but in that sense. So if you could continue to pray for me, I'd appreciate it. And that's kind of a short blurb of what I'm going to be doing here in the fall. I leave September 8th, but encourage you to continue to pray for me. 2 Kings chapter 6, and let's begin reading in verse 8. Word of God says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel, and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp.' And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down.' And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, 'Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king. But Elisha the prophet, that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber.'" We'll continue on here in a moment, but the story that's being told here is the nation of Israel is at war against the Syria. And here they are, the king of Syria is mapping out what he's going to do, and he tells his army, "This is where we're going to go," and, you know, an attempt to get the nation of Israel. And every time they go somewhere, somehow the nation of Israel hears that where they are, and they avoid them. And the king thought maybe there was a traitor in his midst or something, and they said, "No, it's Elisha. He's telling them everything that you're saying in your bedchamber." And just kind of a neat story right there, but we'll continue on reading in verse 13. It says, "And he said, 'Go and spy where he is,'" that's Elisha, "'that I may send and fetch him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Behold, he is in Dothan.' Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his master said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?' And Elisha answered, 'Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." This true story illustrates great lessons of faith for us today. It took the eye of faith to see what Elisha saw. The mountain full of horses and chariots of fire round about. It took the eye of faith amidst the ensuing pressure of the enemy to see that they that be with us are more than they. And then on top of that to say, fear not. Let's notice three simple truths about the eye of faith. Three simple truths about the eye of faith. And I trust that the message that God has put on my heart will be a challenge and encouragement to you, each one here tonight. And we've seen God do some great things in the past summer, and I believe we're at a critical point in our church where whether we're going to believe God and go forward or fall back into our comfort zone and just kind of be content where we're at. God desires for us to go forward, to see great things, greater things accomplished. And it's going to require faith. And at times it might not be comfortable. But God wants us, where we are right now, to go forward. And I trust that what God's put on my heart here tonight will be that challenge and that encouragement to you. And I think the passage that we looked at is a great source of encouragement for us as God's people. So let's notice three simple truths about the eye of faith. The eye of faith, first of all, looks past obstacles. The eye of faith looks past obstacles. If anybody had an excuse, had obstacles to overcome, it was Elisha. Could you imagine being in the city of Dothan and waking up one morning and hearing the word from your servant that the city is surrounded by horses and chariots? Can you imagine that? I mean, imagine just here our church if, you know, we woke up one morning or were here one morning, our church, just our church was surrounded by horses and chariots. Well, here was the whole city of Dothan completely surrounded by horses and chariots. And Elisha, if anybody had obstacles, it was Elisha. The whole nation, the Assyrian army around him, it was Elisha that had obstacles. But yet we see his overcoming faith in verse 16 when he said to his servant, "Fear not." What words? I'm sure each one of us here tonight, if we were in Elisha's place, we would be a little bit afraid. We'd be a little bit tempted to, you know, hesitate about what we're doing. And here Elisha said these great words, to fear not. And then he says, "For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." You know what? Faith does not look at surroundings. Faith does not look at the circumstances which we are in. Faith looks past that. Faith looks past the obstacles and rests in the promises of God's Word. God's Word is full of promises for us as believers. And faith rests in what God has said, rests in God and in who He is. It doesn't get distracted by the obstacles around us. And you know what? If we're going to go forward as a church, we have to overcome. We have to look past the obstacles that may seem to be right in front of us. The whole army of army of Syria was around Elisha, yet he saw past that. He saw the fact, the reality, that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And you know what? If we're going to move forward as a church, if we're going to trust God, believe Him for greater things in our day, you know, we have to look past the obstacles that are just screaming at us, so to speak, right in front of us. We have to look past that. We have to look to the promises of God's Word. We have to rest in who God is and His presence with us. So we see, first of all, the eye of faith looks past obstacles. Notice, secondly, the eye of faith focuses on the Lord. Elisha was not focused on the enemy. He was focused on the fact that he was on the Lord's side. Because he said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." These words reveal his trust in the Lord. He recognized he was not alone. You know, in the Lord's army, when on the Lord's side, we're never alone. I guarantee it, at times it feels like it. I'm sure Elisha felt like it. But you know what? The eye of faith that he had was he was able to see and to recognize that it wasn't just him that was there. It just wasn't him and his servants that were there. It was the host of, a great host of angels or whoever, horses and chariots of fire round about, filling the mountainside, that was also there with Elisha. You know what? Faith focuses on the Lord. It rests in His promised presence. God's Word promises to us that He is with us. He is always with us. And if we're a child of God, the Spirit of God lives inside of us. And we have His presence with us. But the eye of faith focuses on the Lord. In challenging times, it's easy to look at the things going on around us, the circumstances, our surroundings. But you know what? The eye of faith focuses on the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, if the Lord be for us, who can be against us? We have that great promise in Romans that if God is for us, who can be against us? And we need to recognize that. Elisha didn't fear what man could do to him. He saw this great army and he said, fear not. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid that, you know what, they could come and at any moment kill him. He was resting in the fact that God's presence was with him, that God was his protection, his trust. And he was trusting him. So we see the eye of faith looks past obstacles. The eye of faith, secondly, focuses on the Lord. And then thirdly, the eye of faith opens the eyes of others. The eye of faith opens the eyes of others. Look with me in verse 17 of 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 17 it says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. God used Elisha's faith to open the eyes of those who had not faith. He used Elisha's faith to open the eyes of his servants who couldn't see the great host of chariots and fire filling the mountainside. The servant cried, alas, my master, how shall we do? This servant thought, we're going to die. We're done for. And he's like, master, what are we going to do? How shall we do? As he saw the enemy all around him. I'm sure that would be the response of all of us. What can we do? There's nothing we can do. And Elisha prayed, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. You know what? In a person in a local church, in God's a church that has faith, God will use that person to instill that faith in others. A person with faith that's believing God, that sees the promises of God's Word, what God wants to do, and believes God for great things. That person's faith, God will use to be the instrument, the tool by which others access that faith and can believe God for great things. You know what? The eye of faith opens the eyes of others. You know, one of the greatest hindrances to a church going forward by faith is those that have no faith destroy or oppose those that have faith. I wonder, you know, I know that there are people here tonight that want to see God do something, that want to see our community reach, that want to see God use the John and the Romans in our community, that want to see souls saved on Get Acquainted Sunday. There's people like that here tonight. But you know what? I guarantee that there's some thinking, man, it's not really worth it doing all this. It's not really worth making the sacrifice every Monday night to get out those John Romans. It's not really worth it. You know, that kind of attitude, that kind of spirit will destroy the faith of others. But a person that has faith, that wants to believe God, you know what? It encourages others. It gives them greater faith and greater opportunity to believe God for greater things. I call those people that don't really want to believe God for great things, I call them naysayers. They're always kind of doubting. They're always kind of have that negative attitude. Well, I don't know if we should be that bold. I don't know if we should get so aggressive there. You know, those are people that are naysayers that don't have faith. They'd rather just, they don't want to, but what in reality, they're destroying the faith of others. Great complimentary verse to, I think, this passage in 2 Kings chapter 6. Is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Why don't we turn there? This is really what the crux of the message that I want us to get to tonight. As we looked at that story, that great illustration in 2 Kings chapter 6 of Elisha. What a man of God. to believe God and to trust Him. Elijah was a great man, but here Elisha received a double portion of Elijah's spirit and was able to do greater things than Elijah. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is the key to our church going forward. Faith is the key. We have seen God do some great things this summer. But you know, it takes faith to believe that God's going to keep working. That God's going to use the work that we put forth. The effort by His strength to put forth. It takes faith to believe that God's going to use that. It takes faith to believe that when we pass out that John Romans, that God is going to use it. Whether we ever hear about it or not. It takes faith. You know what? Faith is the key for the Christian life. And tonight, for each individual person here and a church as a whole, it takes faith to go forward. It's not automatic. It's not going to just, all of a sudden, we're going to move forward. You know, it takes faith, believing God. It takes faith to believe God and soul winning and passing out those John Romans. It takes faith to raise your children for the Lord in our generation. You know, it takes faith to, in a sense, to grab the reins of your family and in the power of the Lord, take it in the right direction. It takes faith to walk in the Spirit and yield forth the fruits of the Spirit. It takes faith to have the power of the Holy Spirit on your life. It takes faith to go forward as a church, despite the obstacles. You know, everything about it may be screaming in your face the opposite. You know, we can't go forward. God doesn't want to do, you know, we're not doing things maybe the right way or something like that. Despite the obstacles, we have to believe God. We have to have faith and move forward. This is the key for our church. And you know what? I just sense that we're at a critical point in our church. We've believed God, you know, in VBS for the John Romans. But you know what? It can't stop here. We have to continue believing God and having that faith. That believe God. We have to believe that the God of Elisha is still the God, our God today. He sits on the throne. The great I am is still the great I am. And we can believe Him for great things. I wonder about you here tonight. What kind of person are you? Do you have the eye of faith? Through the darkness around us, can you see that God wants to do great things? Can you see despite the obstacles? Is your focus on the Lord? And is your faith such that it encourages and strengthens others to go forward? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. We serve the same God that Elisha served. We serve the same God that delivered Elisha from the great army of Syria. And Elisha, when he said, "They that be with us are more than they that be with them," is still true for us today. They that be with us are greater than them that be against us, are greater than they that be with them. You know, we are on the winning side. We are on the victorious side. And we have God on our side, and He can do anything. We need to believe God. We need to trust Him. The Bible says that the church of God, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have to get a faith perspective on life. We have to have the eye of faith to see and go in the direction that God wants us to go. You know what? It takes faith to go forward. It takes faith for every individual out here to go forward, to believe that God wants to use them, that God wants to use you to be a part in this church in going forward. We don't need people that doubt God, that live in unbelief, that say, we just need to wait until God comes or hold on until the rapture comes. You know, we need to be looking for that. But you know what? Until then, we need to be pushing forward going forward by faith, believing God for great things. I wonder tonight, do you have the eye of faith? Do you have the eye of faith to go forward, to see past the obstacles, to see past the attacks of Satan that he's going to put into your life, or maybe bring to try to discourage you? Do you have the eye of faith that focuses on the Lord and His promises? The eye of faith that opens the eyes of others. The faith that by which others access and gain that faith and believe God. You know what? According to that verse in Hebrews chapter 11, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. If God, we want God to be pleased with our church, if we want God, if you want God to be pleased with your life, it only comes through a life of living by faith. When it doesn't seem like anything is in your favor, believing God according to His Word, and believing that going by faith, God will bless that. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Elijah, he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Let's, as a church, believe that verse. That we are on the winning side, that God is on our, we are on God's side. And that we can believe Him for great things. He is a big enough God that we can step out by faith and believe Him. That's what it's going to take in these days ahead to move forward, to see God work. You know what? God wants to reach our community. God is able to reach our community. And it's time that God's people start believing that He is able to do it. That He still is the great I Am. But yet I fear that there's some here tonight that don't want to believe God. That don't want to step out by faith. And that thing alone is what's going to be hold back our church from going forward. We need a church, our whole church, to grab a hold of faith and going forward by faith, believing God. And you know what? God will bless as we seek Him and continue living by faith. The eye of faith. Do you have the eye of faith tonight to believe God, to go forward? You know what? Elijah, amidst all that turmoil, the army of Assyria around him, he saw the mountain full of chariots and horses of fire. You know what? We serve the same God of Elisha. And God wants to do great things in our community, in our church. We just have to believe Him to do it. Let's pray. Lord, I trust that the Spirit of God will take what was said tonight, and though I'm very sure insufficient, Lord, I believe that the Spirit of God can take it. And those that have thirsty hearts here tonight, Lord, will come and drink. And Lord, their hearts will be satisfied. Their hearts will be full. And Lord, some here tonight have doubted You recently, have been living in unbelief. Maybe at some point recently, Lord, they believed You but have fallen into unbelief. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would drive the truth of Your Word that we looked at tonight and the necessity of faith in the believer's life. And Father, we want to see You do great things. Lord, as a church, we want to see You. And Lord, do great things in our community. And Father, we pray that You would just give us that faith to trust You, to believe You. And Lord, those that have, Lord, not lived by faith recently, Lord, would You change their perspective? Give them that faith perspective on life. And Lord, I pray that as a church, You would change us and draw us closer to You. Give us a greater vision of who You are, Lord, so that we can understand and trust You and live by faith in an even greater way. And Lord, I believe that You want to do great things in these days, using each one, Lord, in our church. And Father, I pray that these truths of faith that we saw through the life of Elisha, that we would take them tonight, Lord, as our own, and trust You, Lord, for great things. Lord, may we always recognize that they that be with us are greater than they that be with them. And, Lord, we are on the winning side. I pray that we would trust You, that we would take that by faith, and, Lord, go forward expecting You to do great things in these days. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.